All right. Thank you, one and all, for being here. Love you. So thankful for the time we get together. Lord, as we are gathered together in your name, our hearts and our prayers are that you manifest that which is in your word for us, and that there would be those hearts that would join together into seeking your glory, your praise, and your honor above all else. Lord, that you find satisfaction in that which you have created. You've brought it all into place through the wondrous, mighty, awesome resurrection power of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we recite the Shema together. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. 1 Samuel 26, 23 and 24 is again our text this week. And the Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I refuse to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me from all distress. We have spent a little time in this passage, which highlights the commitment that David held in his heart toward both the Lord as well as for Saul, the first king of Israel. There was within this young man that would not bring himself to usurp the throne of Saul, despite the fact that David had been chosen by God and anointed by Samuel, and that Saul was actively seeking to kill him. David was holding true to the Lord's sovereignty. He tried to show Saul on several occasions that he was not seeking to kill Saul and thus usurp the throne by the power of his own hand. David was content to leave it all to the Lord for Jehovah to do as he so ordained. We now look to the word in a variety of passages which show us the true means of dealing with situations in which we always want to honor the Lord. This is even if it might appear that we could easily solve things by taking the course of action into our own hands. That was the decision that David faced more than once. His trust in the Lord was in full evidence, as is always to be the case with us. We can hear the heart of the man who was trying diligently not to do something that would violate the way of the Lord. Please open to the Psalms, beginning with Psalm 7, 8 and 9. Psalm 7, verses 8 and 9. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous, God tries the hearts and minds. There is that evident desire unto righteousness within this psalm. As David is righteous, so do the people of the Lord need to be righteous. Their behavior, attitude, demeanor, and thoughts. This does not mean that they will be perfect in every situation, but it does mean that it is imperative to have that desire and that integrity of spirit which seeks to always be honoring and upright in the course of our walk on this earth before God and before men. Next, please consider the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 17, 1 through 7. There is the evident realization that one cannot expect God to hear the prayers of those who practice deceit and violation against others. We know that God will ever hear the cry of repentance from the heart that does desire to change and to live a life that is glorifying to God. As well, in the course of looking to the Lord and seeking to honor Him, the voice of those who go through the worst of situations will also be heard by the Lord. There will be that divine response of love and mercy and comfort and grace and power to see them through it all. Psalm 17, 1 through 7. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes look with equity. Thou hast tried my heart. Thou hast visited me by night. Thou hast tested me and dost find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of lips I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt answer me, O God. Incline thine ear to me, hear my speech. Wondrously show thy loving kindness, O Savior, of those who take refuge at thy right hand from those who rise up against them. There is that complete assurance declared that God will show forth his attentive listening to those who call out to him in the trials and the tribulations. He will respond with all his loving kindness. He will be the refuge of those who trust in him and obey him and desire for his honor to be the paramount testimony of their lives. We're not talking about perfect obedience in the terms of how Jesus, as a man, obeyed the every precept in the manifested divine guidance of this heavenly Father. He is the only man who could and did successfully fulfill the law to the complete satisfaction of God's heart. We know that we will err on occasion. However, our desire, our commitment is that we will obey the Lord more and more perfectly as each opportunity is presented. We want to have that heart like David, who when the opportunities to take matters into his own hands were presented, for the most part, obeyed and waited on and honored the Lord. His was the righteousness of a dedicated heart of love unto Jehovah. David's steps were set on that which would bring glory and the witness of the goodness of Yahweh to those who would watch and would see how much David truly loved the precepts and desired to praise and to adore Jehovah with all his heart and being. That is what we are to desire with all our hearts. We proceed forward with this walk unto that which pleases and honors God, as detailed in Psalm 18, 20 through 26. This is the description of how God responds to those who are desirous that all would come to Him and call out to Him and honor Him and adore Him in the glory of His awesome presence. God deals with us in the terms of how we present ourselves in our walk on this earth. Psalm 18, 20 through 26. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His ordinances were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also blameless with him and kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. With the kind thou dost show thyself kind. With the blameless thou dost show thyself blameless. With the pure thou dost show thyself pure. And with the crooked thou dost show thyself astute. We are not perfect in any measure, but there should be that distinct difference that being a child of God shows forth. Those who are watching our steps, even those who are desiring to see us fall miserably, should witness the absolute manner of the truth that it matters to us how God sees us as we live our lives moment by moment. They will thus recognize that the Lord is working on our behalf as we are walking in the manner which honors and pleases Him. Even as we stumble, they will see how He picks us up and carries us forward in the course of our living relationship with Him. The psalmist then makes a most perceptive declaration which should ring true in our minds and spirits and hearts. In two very concise verses, Psalm 25, 21, and 22, there is the reality of how much we need to order our walk before others as the manner that would bring glory and praise to God Most High. Psalm 25, 21, and 22. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. The entirety of the plan and the purpose of God is wrapped up in the manner in which humanity responds to and makes the free and deliberate choice to live in accordance to the way that God directs. This is not a matter of being forced into anything. It is the reality that when we choose to honor Jehovah as the every source of our integrity, uprightness, righteousness, and holiness, we are taught the same in the manner in which we deal with other people. Our walk that honors God will also show forth in the course of our dealings with those whom he brings into our lives. This becomes the heart of our stipulated walk with God as we wait on him. We trust him. We desire to see his hand in action in all his faithfulness and his loving kindness as he so perfectly redeems his people unto himself. It is as we hold true to God, as we wait for him to do that which is deemed necessary, that we will come to know him in the greater measure as the very sustainer and maintainer of our lives. Consider the fact that David waited for the Lord to do that which would establish the kingdom of Israel as the Lord had so planned and purposed. David refused to take the matters into his own hands. He rather waited patiently and obediently for the Lord. He watched diligently and expectantly for Jehovah to do that which was necessary to bring the 12 tribes together into the manifested nation of Israel, completely united under the throne of David. This was not just for the short breadth of two generations of David's heritage, but for eternity through the lineage of David as established in the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer of all who will call upon his name. This is the course of what God was establishing as David waited for Jehovah to put him on the throne, rather than trying to take it by force, either in the cave or in that camp of Saul. David kept his integrity of heart and uprightness of spirit before the Lord ever before those men with whom he traveled and with whom he hid in the caves and the wadis and the encampments of the Philistines. His was the witness that he knew the Lord God Almighty, the one to whom David owed utmost allegiance, would prove himself always. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 54:17, adds to this confident assurance that the Lord has all things well in hand. There is no reason to try to shortcut or circumvent the work and the power and the might and the wisdom of God. We are to trust him and see his salvation and his vindication come into place through no means of ourselves. Our lives are lived unto Him. We wait before Him in the full knowledge that there is nothing of this realm that can thwart His plan or can be used to remove us from His hands. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from Me, declares the Lord. Notice that this is our heritage as His children. He is working ever and wonderfully and faithfully and omnipotently on behalf of those who trust in Him. As our hearts are so set upon that which will manifest the truth of God in the midst of the chaos and the vile underpinnings of this age, we are confident that our lives are secure in Him for all of eternity. This world may well put us to physical death, as it is done to so many who belong to the Lord. And yes, even Jesus Himself on the cross. All that truly means is that our short sojourn on this earth, away from the immediate glory of our heavenly family, is over. We are brought through to the reality that all of eternity, which is ours to enjoy even today, is still before us in the relationship of love and peace and joy and utmost magnificence by the glorious resurrection power of Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Therefore, we are not to fret and worry and fear and give into impatience and into anxiety. He will show His awesome omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence in the course of every passing moment as we learn to wait for Him and trust Him and obey Him. We close this morning with the glorious encouragement that is ours, as detailed by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:35 through 39. This is a passage we have read over and over again. Each time brings forth that rest-filled knowledge that what is stated so forcefully is the truth of our walk together with Christ Jesus. Because we love Him and trust Him and count on Him, an utterly new relationship has become our heritage. We are loved by our Heavenly Father, and we are sealed in that salvation by the wonderful and guiding presence of the Holy Spirit. The full, unfathomable immensity of the Godhead is enveloping us with the magnificence of His perfect love and perfect peace. This is why we can walk on this earth, as did David, with the assurance that in the course of our honoring God, He will honor and sustain and provide all that is needed. We will be living witnesses of His faithfulness and His abiding presence. We do not have to try to make things happen through our limited and utterly meager human weakness and so feeble capacity of human understanding. No, we can count on God to prove Himself always and forever. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is in the Lord that we find all our deliverance and our salvation. There is nothing in all of creation, all the creation of God, that can remove us from His loving kindness and His mercy and His grace and His joy and His peace and His redemption. He has done everything that was ever required to save us unto Himself. It is our place, through the immense love and honor and reverence that fills our heart unto Him, that we lovingly and manifestly obey and trust and declare His glory and His praise. This is the testimony of how we show our utmost allegiance and faithfulness and obedience unto Him. So be it. And the Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I refuse to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of the Lord, and may He deliver me from all distress. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horseman rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horseman rider thrown into the sea. The Lord, my God, my strength, my home, has now become my victory. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now
Trust Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, 14.
Bless the Lord.